Kun det beste for den beste, sa han, og hun kjente at det kriblet langt inn i ryggmargen. Selv om hun kanskje egentlig syntes sjokolademilkshake var bedre enn vanilje. Men det viktigste var at han syntes vanilje var best, og at hun var like bra. Så hun kastet seg over han og kysset han lenge, 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 helt til de hørte at det tutet fra bilene bak. Og de kjørte videre og hentet burgerne og milkshakene sine. Ja, det er sånne ting som skjer i drive-thru noen ganger. For sånn er livet, og McDonald's er bare en liten del av det, tross alt.
Okay. Hi, this is Bruce Dickinson from Iron Maiden. You're listening to a podcast, God bless you. Gammal rock. If not, you're making a mistake.
Gammal Maiden, that is.
Oh, Gammal Maiden. Sorry. Yeah, yeah, there you go. There you go. You're listening to a podcast. I'm Bruce Dickinson. You're not. And you're listening to Gammal Maiden.
Ja, så har det faktisk skjedd. Jækla plutselig har jeg snakket med barndomsidolet mitt, Bruce Dickinson. Det helt rått å tenke på. Jeg har nettopp gjort det, så skjelvene stemmer fremdeles. Det helt vilt. Våkna i morges, vest fred og ingen fare. Det var jo, kom vel en melding i går om at det kanskje åpnet seg en mulighet for et lite intervju med Bruce Dickinson I dag. Tenkte ikke noe mer over det. Sjekke e-posten på vei ned til jobb. Jo da, det ordnet seg det. Ti over halv to har du mulighet. Ja, det har jeg. Det her har jeg ventet på I over 30 år, så hvis jeg høres veldig nervøs ut, og engelsken jo helt jævlig her, nordtrønder, så håper jeg det greit. Kos deg med et forsøk på å ta en helt vanlig prat med Bruce Dickinson.
Gammal Maiden med Torkel Torsvik.
Right to the chat. Well, here comes Bruce now, mate. So
thank you.
Have a great interview.
Thank you very much.
And I'll just come in when we got 3 minutes, just to give you a 3 minute warning that we're so that you can.
Yeah. Nice. Thank you.
Ah.
Hey, Bruce.
Hello there.
How are you?
How are we doing? Oh, I'm all right. Feeling much better for talking to you this morning. There you go.
Sounds nice. My name is Torkil. I work in Norwegian Radio Rock. So This will be aired on the station and in my podcast. It's called Gammal Maiden. It's actually about guests talking about your band's influence on their lives. So
okay.
Are you ready?
Well, yes.
Bruce Dickinson, welcome to Gammal Maiden.
Hi there.
Where are you right now? Lots of books in the back there.
I am in my I'm in my front room in London.
Okay, I see the Hess, Hitler, and Churchill book in the shelf there. So.
Oh yeah. No, I was doing some screenplay. I did a screenplay about Hess. Yeah, funny enough, a very strange story that Rudolf Hess was actually interrogated by Aleister Crowley and as a result of Ian Fleming, who created James Bond, who was actually the deputy director of naval intelligence for in the Second World War, allegedly tried to get Aleister Crowley to interrogate Hess because Hess was off his head on speed and drugs and talking in gibberish. And he believed in black magic and astrology and the occult and everything. Anyway, I wrote a crazy treatment and was, amongst other people, talking to Kurt Sutter, who wrote Sons of Anarchy, about it. And we were knocking ideas around together on Zoom during lockdown. See, that's the crazy stuff that happens in lockdown.
Sons of Anarchy, such a good show, and you had a motorcycle in your first video here, riding on the wall. Congratulations with the new album.
Oh, well, thank you very much. And actually, Sons of Anarchy, now you come to mention it, and the motorcycle, what was I doing during lockdown whilst I was writing the treatment for Riding on the Wall was, you know, I was binge-watching Sons of Anarchy, which is a great show. And then I got kind of like halfway through writing the story, and then I suddenly went, why not have like the four bikers of the apocalypse? That would be cool. And, you know, I mean, obviously it's, you know, it comes from subconsciously, you know, watching motorbikes all day long and Harleys and stuff, like riding around. And so then that turned into, well, why don't we have the four Eddie bikers of the apocalypse, which was equally cool. But of course, there can only be one actual Eddie. So we had to give them Eddie, kind of like stainless steel Eddie masks, each one, so there'd be no confusion about who was the boss Eddie and who were the acolytes, you know, as it were. So yeah, but thanks for the vid. It's a pretty cool piece of filmmaking, you know.
Yeah, and the four horses of the apocalypse were taken already, so why not the bikes?
Yeah, well, it's the four horsepowers of the apocalypse. There's about lots of horsepower in there, you know. I'm not sure if at one point I did want the number plates on the back, you know, to be just sort of like, you know, death, famine, pestilence. And actually, the four horsemen, they all also they have, I think they all have colours associated with them as well, which is we never got into that level of detail because we had plenty of other things to occupy with in terms of detail on the vid. So yeah,
I love the album, I love your voice there, I love Nico's drumming, I love a lot of stuff, but I also love the Senjutsu theme. Did you have any impact there? You already made Sun and Steel, the song about
things. I already did Sun and Steel. I mean up there on the bookshelf as well, lurking. I mean, where's it gone?
Actually, you have the book there.
Actually,
yeah.
No. When I do my Zoom calls, it's my laptop is actually sitting on top of it. it's a great, really thick book on the life of Musashi. It's an epic novel about the life and times of Musashi, including all the stories that got repackaged in Hollywood, in, you know, the Seven Samurai and countless Western movies. Where those like samurai stories get retold, but this time with a gunfighter instead of two guys with swords. I've had an always interest in it. There's some other stuff up there.
Got a book about Kitchener.
Oh, Kitchener. Yeah, I mean, I've got all the that's part of my fencing stuff is there. So
okay.
There's a lot of stuff there. There's a modern bujutsu and budo. this is kendo and like you know, stuff like that. So it's a strange combination of books on like military history, fencing, martial arts, and aviation. You know, so there you go.
And how did the Senjutsu theme then?
Steve's idea.
Steve's idea.
So he came up with the idea and just said, look, I've got this track. It's called Senjutsu. I thought we'd call the album Senjutsu, and we have a samurai Eddie. And I was just like, yeah, cool. I mean, why not?
You know, of course.
You know, I mean, it's the same thing, you know, when we did Power Slave, and I said, let's have ancient Egypt and let's have Eddie as a gigantic mummy. And everybody went, yeah, cool. You know, so same deal, you know. And I'm amazed we haven't had a samurai Eddie before, really. We've had Eddie with a samurai sword on Made in Japan, but we've never actually gone and done the whole thing, a whole hog. So I think it's great. I love it.
I got some regular questions in this podcast. Can you remember the first time you heard Iron Maiden?
Oh yeah, I was. They were actually supporting Samson, and I was in Samson.
Yeah.
And they were like, it's kind of the equivalent of special guests. It was this thing we did back in the early days called the Heavy Metal Crusade, the new wave of British heavy metal. So it'd be like four bands on the bill. So you'd have like Praying Mantis and Tigers of Pantang, and sometimes you'd have White Spirit, which was Yannick's band, obviously. And Maiden and Samson. I think the thing was organized kind of by Samson's management, which is how we always ended up on the bill. Saxon were quite frequently there as well. I saw Maiden at a place, it's now called the Camden Palace or something like that, you know.
Okay.
And now it's what?
What's happening in the back there?
No. It's my girlfriend making. She's got the Nespresso machine. It's making its like noise, you know.
Makes a lot of noise.
Yeah. So it makes a lot of noise, doesn't it? I know. Well,
how was it to see this band before you joined them?
Right. So we were. Oh, it's going to make another noise now. Hang on. Look, there goes the next bit of noise. Yeah, yeah. You know, I actually do Nespresso machine impressions. You know, sometimes, you know, like that's horrible. I mean, you know, where I have the ordinary coffee machines, you know, where they just kind of go. Anyway, never mind. Right, that's that. So yes, back to Maiden. There's this place called the Music Machine. Which is now, I think, called the Camden Palace or something else like that. Anyway, it's about like an 800-seat old music hall venue. We were headlining, and Maiden were like special guests. About 300 people in the hall, and Maiden about to go on. So with about 10 minutes to go before Maiden go on, 500 people walk through the door and show up. So now the place is absolutely rammed full. Maiden come on. Honestly, it was like standing behind a jet engine. I mean, it was just like, whoa! And I was blown away. And my first thought was, wow, I wish I was singing for those guys. Because I was just like, you know, sorry, I was thinking all the things that I could do with my voice with them and everything. Yeah. And the vibe I got off from it was like, it was the same feeling I got when I first heard Deep Purple when I was 15.
Yeah.
I was just like, wow, you know. And anyway, so they finished their gig and 500 people were left. And then we went on to a place that was half empty. And I was just like, I'm in the wrong band here, dude. You know what I mean? But no, it was that was Maiden, and they had a very dedicated following. You know, even back then, it was different to everything else. You know, so different to everything else. I mean, yeah, there was Def Leppard and things like that, but it was nothing like the same vibe as Maiden. Maiden were just special. You know,
you remember which song you heard first? First time?
It was like Killers, and the ones that grabbed me obviously were like Killers and Murders in the Rue Morgue.
Yeah, okay.
Because I was just like, wow, guitar riffs, everything, you know. But I quite liked, I forget if they were doing Strange World, things like that, you know.
But beautiful.
Yeah, some of the stuff, yeah.
Yeah. Just got a message from Darren. We have to finish in 5 minutes.
Uh-huh. That's okay.
This one is difficult. If you had to name one Maiden song that's got a special place in your heart right now, which would be, you think?
A special place in my heart, Maiden song right now. Well, right now, because the album's not out, I'll tell you what is the special effects version of Writing on the Wall.
Yeah, okay. The video.
So we did the video, with the video. So, but recommend people see it. I mean, it's unfortunate that YouTube does horrible things to sound, but it doesn't sound too bad. And the effects version of it, of the track, for me, with the video, the overall whole effect is amazing. And when I did some one-man theatre shows recently, I had this big HD screen and we played the whole thing like a video premiere type thing, like a movie in a theatre with a big sound system for the special effects version. Oh man, it sounds great. So yeah, but that will all change when the album comes out, because people will have a whole bunch of other tracks to listen to that I can't talk about because you haven't heard them yet. Well, you have, but everybody else hasn't.
You know? Yeah, but this will air when the album is out. And you got three tracks there with you wrote with Adrian. It's 2 years ago. So you actually sat down together? This is before lockdown. So how did you work on those tracks?
It was between tours. So we'd done the Legacy of the Beast tour, and then we were about to go and do another one in the USA and South America. And so we decided to go in and see, make a record. And we didn't make any big deal about it. We're like, well, we just go in and we got 3 months and we'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. And this is what happened. But thank God we did, because otherwise, I mean, we'd be going nuts. There'd be nothing to put out. How on earth we would make a record in the intervening period, I've got no idea, because we were all over the world, all doing crazy stuff. So, and locked away in various places all over the globe. So it was a great thing we did when we did the record. And fortunately, I think it's an amazing album.
I agree. And I'm so honored to just speak with you right now before the album is out. And working in radio, it's very important for us to have IDs. Do you do that? Like you're listening to Radio Rock? This is Bruce Dickinson. Do you do that?
Yeah.
Could you do that right now?
I could do that right now. Yeah.
Radio Hello, Rock. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. I was about to do it right now, but I'll do it right now. 3, 2, 1. Now?
Okay. Yes.
What now? Hi, this is Bruce Dickinson from Iron Maiden, and you're listening to Radio Rock.
And another one with the podcast name, Gammal Maiden, if you can pronounce that.
Gammal Maiden, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Hi, sorry to be a pain. We're going to have to keep moving into the next interview, just where we're running that blow on schedule.
Yeah. Right. 10 seconds.
Okay. Hi, this is Bruce Dickinson from Iron Maiden, and you're listening to a podcast, God bless you. Gammal Rock. If not, you're making a mistake.
Gammal Maiden, that is.
Oh, Gammal Maiden, sorry. Yeah, there you go. There you go. You're listening to a podcast. I'm Bruce Dickinson. You're not, and you're listening to Gammal Maiden.
Bruce Dickinson, thank you so much.
Cheers. Thank you. All right, mate.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Whew. Gammal Maiden med Torkel Torsvik, en podcast fra Radio Rock.
Det var rart og stress og veldig mye hjertebank og veldig artig. Takk Bruce og takk til deg som hører på. Nå må jeg bare ta meg en pils, tenker jeg. Ja, ha det!
Han visste det ikke enda. Men noen av de beste barndomsminnene han skulle ta med seg videre I livet var dagene hjemme syk fra skolen med bestefar som barnevakt. Ikke det at det var så innmari gøy å være syk, men han fikk bestille McNuggets til lunsj og se på TV I sofaen mens bestefar leste papiravisa ved siden av. Og det nettopp sånne dager som betyr mer enn det virker som der og da. For sånn livet. Og McDonald's bare en liten del av det, tross alt.